Welcome to KHD Bible Study Podcast. My name is Rabbi Emanuel. I'm a teacher and an elder at Kehilath HaDerech Messianic Synagogue in New York City. Each week, I lead a detailed study from a Messianic Jewish perspective into the Holy Scriptures, chapter by chapter, adding historical context to the events, people, and places. Each week, passionate people gather to read the scriptures, discuss the significance, and ask questions that help to bring out a deeper understanding of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And now, open your holy Bibles and grab a pen and paper, because we embark together on a new journey through the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to learn about Yeshua HaMashiach. Thank you all for coming. Last week, we left Yeshua in Samaria, where a woman had left her water vessel by Jacob's well, and she ran into the city to testify about the Jewish prophet who revealed her whole life story to her. The people rushed out to meet Yeshua and begged him to stay and teach them. He stayed 2 days in Samaria, and many of the people came to the Jewish faith based on his words. Going beyond the Besorah or the Gospels, Yeshua, after he rose from the dead, commissioned the emissaries to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is found early in Luke's Acts of the Apostles in chapter 1, verse 8. These are not random locations, but areas where descendants of Israel and Judah had dispersed after being removed from their lands because of sin. The northern kingdom of Israel was resettled in Assyrian-controlled territories far to the north. From there, many who had lost the faith of the guardian of Israel, our God, and the Torah, kept roaming further into the Caucasus Mountains, and into Europe and further into Russia. Descendants from the southern kingdom of Judah tended to settle south into Turkey, North Africa, including Egypt, Ethiopia, and all over the Persian-controlled territories. Many of the descendants of Judah held fast to their beliefs. In contrast, many of the people who were dispersed from the northern kingdom of Israel had completely lost their beliefs and, as such, their peoplehood. The people who are descendants of Judah developed communities in the areas where they settled. They made converts, and they lived a life centered around Jerusalem and the Torah. Some years later, more enterprising descendants of Judah became merchants, following the mountainous trade routes to China and beyond by land. Others built ships and settled as family-run businesses in regions by sea, including India and much further east, setting up trade enterprises that resold goods back into the Middle East. Many of those families survived into the present period, into the period of photography. And so we have pictures of those Jewish families who were merchants, who were descended from many, many families and generations before them, who settled in far-flung regions of Asia. In the Acts of the Apostles, written by Luke, it's clear that the emissaries began to disperse into these seemingly foreign lands to fulfill their commissions to reach the lost tribes. Almost all of the apostles, as we said last week, lost their lives, bringing the good news of the kingdom of heaven to people who had lost their Israelite identities. And like Yeshua, their messages challenged local power dynamics. They clashed with kings, rulers, and pagan priests. It should be understood that in Judea, in Yeshua's time, it was not the common people who clashed with the Messiah, but rather the entrenched, powerful elite who saw him as a direct challenge to their authority. In fact, the common people heard about Messiah Yeshua and believed in him. They had no doubt who he was, and they went to drastic measures to travel long distances to be healed and to be cleansed of sins. Tonight, we go further into the early years of Messiah Yeshua's ministry, which included bringing the message of remission of sins, the kingdom of heaven, and increasingly setting free those burdened by broken hearts, consequences of sin, and demonic possession. Yeshua's ministry perfectly fulfilled the prophecies of the prophets, going all the way back to the promises of the patriarchs. The unclean spirits, which were proliferating in Judea, knew who Yeshua was. They knew where he came from, and they knew he had authority from the Father. Many of these unclean spirits, sometimes we call them demons, panicked, believing their time was being cut short and that the kingdom of heaven would be immediately established. After Yeshua and his Talmudim leave Samaria, they travel back into his home territory, into the Galilee. Yeshua's reception among his own people, well, let's put it this way. They knew him as a boy. They knew his family. And their reception for him was skeptical at best. They wanted what I call a magic show, a demonstration of power. Yeshua would later call people who demand a sign an evil generation. Yet, Messiah Yeshua constantly displayed compassion on those who were in need, regardless of ancestry. Let me read this for you. After 2 days, he went on from there into the Galilee. Now, Yeshua himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. But when he came into the Galilee, they welcomed him, for they had seen all he had done at the feast in Jerusalem, since they also had gone up to celebrate. That passage is from John 4, 43 through 45. Before we read this next section, this next segment, I need to add some social dynamics. By the period of the Roman occupation, Jewish people desired a militaristic Messiah, someone like the Maccabee brothers, someone who would confront the Roman legions and free them from the occupation. Many who attended the synagogues knew the scriptures, including the prophecies of the Messiah, but in their hearts, they looked for liberation. The second major element at play is local pride. We all have it today. Maybe even more so today. It's especially powerful in both sports and in politics. In sports, when your team loses abroad, they're easily forgiven. You hear terms like, it was a hostile environment, it's okay. But when the local team underperforms at home, fans become outraged. Yeshua was a local man. He was from Nazareth. His father was a well-known carpenter. Yeshua may have helped set up homes or deliver 1,000-pound furniture in the homes of the people of Nazareth. To hear about a local man performing miracles and showing signs of the Messiah would have stirred local pride incredibly. Now, neighbors wanted to see these signs for themselves and perhaps even confirm their suspicions that this son of David was the promised liberator.
Luke chapter 4. Verses 15 through 30. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone was praising him. And he came to Nazareth while he had been raised. As was his custom, he went into the synagogue on Shabbat, and he got up to read. When the scroll of the prophet of Isaiah was handed to him, he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Ruach Adonai is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and set free the oppressed and proclaim the year of Adonai's favor." He closed the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue were focused on him. Then he began to tell them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your ears." All were speaking well of him and marveling at the gracious words coming out of his mouth. And they were saying, "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" But he said to them, "Doubtless you will say to me this proverb, 'Doctor, heal yourself.' And what we have heard was done at Capernaum. Do as much here also as in your hometown." But he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. But with all truthfulness, I say to you that there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when heaven was closed for 3.5 years, and there came a great famine over the land. Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to Zarephath, in the land of Sidon, to a widowed woman. There were many with Tzarat in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them were purified apart from Naaman the Syrian. Now all in the synagogue were filled with rage upon hearing these things. Rising up, they drove him out of the town and brought him as far as the edge of the mountain on which their city had been built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But passing through the middle of them, he went on his way.
What we will cover tonight is a series of miraculous healings all throughout the region, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people sitting in darkness have seen a great light, and those sitting in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Matthew 4:15-16. Let us begin this discussion of miracles in Capernaum.
So he went again to Cana of Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. Now there was a nobleman whose son was sick in Capernaum. When he heard that Yeshua had come from Judea of the Galilee, he went to him and begged him to come down and heal his son, for he was about to die. Then Yeshua said to him, "Unless you all see signs and wonders, you'll never believe." The nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Yeshua tells him, "Go, your son lives." The man believed the word that Yeshua said to him and started off. While on his way down, his servants met him, saying that his son was living. So he asked them the hour when the boy began to get better. They said, "The fever left him yesterday at about the seventh hour." Then the father realized that it was the same hour Yeshua said to him, "Your son lives." Now he himself believed, along with his whole household. Yeshua did this as the second sign after he had come again from Judea into the Galilee.
Now this next section occurs in a synagogue on Shabbat of all times and all places. Pay special attention to the words of the unclean spirit. By way of reminder, these unclean spirits are actually fallen angels. They were defeated in heaven and cast down with the leader of their rebellion. They are locked in darkness, which means we cannot see them. Some, however, enter into relationships with humanity through a variety of means, but they especially enter into the lives of people who are immersed in patterns of sin. They will be judged after the redemption and removed from influencing humanity. So they know right now, and they knew back then, that their time is short.
Mark 1:21-28. And they went into Capernaum right away on Shabbat. He entered the synagogue and began to teach. And they were astounded at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the Torah scholars. Just then, there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have we to do with you, Yeshua of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." Yeshua answered, rebuked him, saying, "Quiet, come out of him." And the unclean spirit, after throwing the man into convulsions and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all so amazed that they asked among themselves, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately, news about him spread throughout the region surrounding Galilee.
Luke 4:31-37. Yeshua came down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee. He was teaching them on Shabbat, and they were stunned at his teaching because his message had authority. In the synagogue was a man who had unclean demonic spirit, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha, what do we do with you, Yeshua of Nazareth? Have you came to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. Yeshua rebuked him, saying, quiet, come out of him. And when the demon threw him down in their midst, he came out without hurting him. They were all amazed. And they spoke to one another, one saying, what is this message? With authority and power, he commanded the unclean spirits to come out. So his reputation grew, spread to every place in that region.
This next healing is personal to the family of Shimon Peter, Kepha.
Matthew 8, verse 14 through 17. And when Yeshua came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying down, sick with a fever. Yeshua touched her hand, and the fever left her. Then she got up and began to take care of him. When evening came, the people brought to him many who were afflicted by demons. He forced out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. So was fulfilled what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our sicknesses and carried away our diseases.
Mark 1, 29 through 34. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with Jacob and John to the house of Simon and Andrew. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever. Right away they told Yeshua about her. He came and raised her up by taking her hand. The fever left her, and she began to take care of them. When evening came, at sunset, the people brought him all the sick and all those who were afflicted by demons. The whole town gathered together at the door. He healed many who were sick with various diseases and drove out many demons. And he would not allow the demons to speak because they knew who he was.
Luke chapter 4, verses 38 to 41. After he left the synagogue, Yeshua entered Simon's home. Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they petitioned him concerning her. Then standing over her, he rebuked the fever and it left her. Immediately she arose to wait on him. When the sun was setting, they brought to Yeshua all who were sick with various diseases. And he was laying hands on each one and healing them. Even demons were coming out from many, shouting out and saying, you are Ben Elohim. But he was rebuking them and not permitting them to speak, because they knew him to be the Messiah.
Messiah Yeshua was not a local man from Nazareth by this time. Many people from modern day, from areas as far north as modern day Syria and as far south as Egypt knew about the rabbi who taught and also commanded unclean spirits. This is why later you'll see that crowds of hundreds of thousands will hear the word of Yeshua and travel to see this rabbi who heals.
Matthew 4. Verses 23 to 25. Yeshua was going throughout all the Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those tormented by various diseases and afflictions, those plagued by demons, the epileptics, the paralyzed, and he healed them all. And large crowds followed him from the Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan.
Mark 1:29 through 34. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with Jacob and John to the house of Simon and Andrew. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever. Right away, they told Yeshua about her. He came and raised her up by taking her hand. The fever left her, and she began to take care of them. When evening came at sunset, the people brought to him all the sick and those who were afflicted by demons. The whole town gathered together at the door. He healed many who were sick with various diseases and drove out many demons. And he would not allow the demons to speak because they knew who he was.
Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. Now, while Yeshua was in one of the towns, a man covered with zaraat appeared And when he saw Yeshua, he fell on his face and begged him, saying, "Master, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Yeshua stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately the Zara'at left him. Yeshua ordered him to tell no one, but commanded him, "Go and show yourself to the Kohen. Then bring an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded, as a testimony to them." But the news about Yeshua was spreading all the more, and many crowds were coming together to hear and to be healed of their diseases. Yet he would often slip away into the wilderness and pray.
In this next session, we'll get a deeper understanding of the Son of the Father. He was there when the world was created, and the natural elements actually have no effect on him. He does not sink in water, and he commands the angels who govern the winds.
Matthew 8, verses 16 through 27. When evening came, the people brought to him many who were afflicted by demons. He forced out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. So was fulfilled what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, "He himself took our sicknesses and carried away our diseases." Now when Yeshua saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go to the other side of the sea. Then a Torah scholar came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Yeshua tells him, "Foxes have dens and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then another disciple said, "Master, first let me go and bury my father." But Yeshua tells him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." As he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a great storm arose on the sea, so that the boat was being covered by the waves. But Yeshua kept on sleeping. So they came and woke him up, saying, "Master, save us, we're perishing." He said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he got up, he rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became totally calm. The men were amazed, saying, "What kind of person is this? Even the winds and the sea obey him."
Mark 4, 35 to 41. Now on the same day in the evening, he said to them, "Let's cross over to the other side." After leaving the crowd, they take him along in the boat, just as he was. And the other boats were with him. A great windstorm arises, and the waves were rushing into the boat. The boat was beginning to fill up. But Yeshua was in the back of the boat, sleeping on a pillow. They woke him up and say to him, "Teacher, don't care that we are being perishing?" So he woke up and rebuked the wind. And he said to the sea, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind stopped and became totally calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Even now you have no faith?" They were struck with awe and say to one another, Who is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him."
Luke 8:22 through 25. Now, on one of those days, Yeshua and his disciples got into a boat, and he said to them, "Let's move out to the other side of the lake." So they set out. Then as they were sailing, he fell asleep. A violent windstorm came down on the lake, and they were swamped with water and in danger. They came to Yeshua and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're perishing." He got up and rebuked the wind and the surging wave of water. Then they stopped, and it became calm. Then Yeshua said to them, "Where is your faith?" But they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him."
Once again, we will see that the unclean spirits know the Son of the Father, and the angels in heaven and the fallen angels respond to his authority just as the elements respond to him. Some teachers like to say there's a battle between good and evil, that somehow fallen angels have an ability to confront the Creator. The fact is, that everything that happens is by and through the will of the Lord of hosts, Adonai Sabaoth. There really is only one Elohim, and he is never in any kind of struggle with those whom he creates.
Matthew 8:28-34. When he came to the other side, into the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-plagued men coming from the graveyard met him. They were so violent that no one could pass by that way. And they screamed, "What's between you and us, Ben Elohim? Have you come here to torment us before the appointed time?" Now a large herd of pigs was feeding some distance away from them. The demons kept begging him, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." And he told them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down a cliff into the sea and drowned. The herdsmen ran away, went into the town, and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-plagued men. The whole town came to meet Yeshua, and when they saw him, they begged him to leave their region.
Luke 8:26-39. They sailed over to the country of the Gerasenes, which is on the opposite side of the Galilee. A demon-plagued man from the town met Yeshua as he was coming out onto the land. The men hadn't worn any clothing for a long time and was living not in a house but in the tombs. Seeing Yeshua, he cried out and fell down before Yeshua and with a loud voice said, "What's between you and me, Yeshua ben Ha'elyon? I'm begging you, do not torment me." For Yeshua commanded the defiling spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him, so that even though he was restrained and bound with chains and shackles, he would break the chains and be driven by the demons into the desert. Yeshua questioned him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he said, for many demons had entered him. They kept begging him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now, a large herd of pigs was feeding on the mountain. The demons urged Yeshua to let them enter these pigs, and he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered into the pigs. The herd rushed down the cliff into the lake and was drowned. But when the herdsmen saw what happened, they ran away and reported it in the town and countryside. People went out to see what had happened. They came to Yeshua and found the man from whom the demons had gone, clothed and in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Yeshua. And they were frightened. Now, those who had seen it reported how the demon-plagued man had been restored, and all the people from the region surrounding the Gerasenes asked Yeshua to go away from them because they were overcome by great fear. So he got into a boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go out with Yeshua, but Yeshua sent him away saying, "Return to your home and describe all that God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole town all that Yeshua had done for him.
And now the last miracle we will look at tonight is really two events. It illustrates the power of faith. Even when our lives are filled with pain and sin, grace and mercy is always within reach, as long as we return to the Creator.
Matthew 9:18-26. Just as he was saying these things to them, a synagogue leader came and began to bow before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come lay your hand on her and she will live." And Yeshua got up and began to follow him with his disciples. Just then, a woman losing blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the tzitzit of his garment. For she kept saying to herself, "If only I touch his garment, I will be healed." But then Yeshua turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said, "your faith has made you whole." Well, that very hour the woman was healed. When Yeshua came into the synagogue leader's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said, "Go away, for the girl isn't dead, but sleeping." And they began jeering at him. But when the crowd had been cleared out, he went in and took her hand, and the girl got up. And news of this spread all around that region.
Mark 5:21 through 43. When Yeshua had crossed over in the boat again to the other side, a big crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, comes. Seeing him, he falls at his feet. He begs him a great deal, saying, "My little daughter is near death. Come and lay hands on her so that she may be healed and live." So Yeshua went off with him, and a big crowd was following him and pressing upon him. And there was a woman with a blood flow for 12 years, who had suffered much under many doctors. She had spent all that she had without benefit. Instead, she grew worse. When she heard about Yeshua, she came through the crowd from behind and touched his garment. For she kept saying, "If I touch even his clothes, I shall be healed." Right away, the blood flow stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed from her disease. At once, Yeshua, knowing in himself that power had gone from him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples responded, "You see the crowd press upon you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But he kept looking around to see who had done this. But the woman, scared and shaking, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in shalom and be healed from your disease." While Yeshua was still speaking, messengers come from the house of the synagogue leader saying, "Your daughter is dead. Why do you still trouble the teacher?" But ignoring what they said, Yeshua tells the synagogue leader, "Do not be afraid, only believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, Jacob, and John, the brother of Jacob. They came to the house of the synagogue leader. He sees a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. After entering, he said to them, "Why make such a fuss and weep? The child didn't die, but is sleeping." They start jeering at him, but after sending all of them out, he takes the child's father and mother and those with him and enters where the child was. Then, taking hold of the child's hand, he tells her, "Talitha kouam," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. And they were overcome with astonishment. But he gave them strict orders that no one should know about this, and he said something to eat should be given to her.
Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 56. As Yeshua returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. And here came a man named Jairus, a leader in the synagogue. Falling at Yeshua's feet, he begged him to come to his house because his only daughter, about 12 years old, was dying. But as he made his way, the masses were crushing in upon him. And there was a woman with a blood flow for 12 years who could not be healed by anyone. She came up from behind and touched the tzitzit of Yeshua's garment. Immediately, her blood flow stopped. Yeshua said, "Who touched me?" When everyone denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds are surrounding you and pressing in." But Yeshua said, "Someone touched me, for I recognized power going out from me." Then, seeing that she did not escape notice, the woman came, trembling, and fell prostrate before him. In the presence of all the people, she confessed why she had touched him and how she had been healed immediately. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in shalom." While he was still speaking, someone comes from the house of the synagogue leader, saying, "Your daughter has died. Don't bother the teacher anymore." But hearing this, Yeshua replied to him, "Do not fear. Just keep trusting, and she shall be restored." When Yeshua came into the house, he didn't let anyone enter with him except Peter, John, Jacob, and the child's father and mother. And everyone was weeping and lamenting her. But he said, "Don't weep, for she didn't die, but is sleeping." But they were ridiculing him, knowing she had died. But Yeshua took her by the hand and called out, saying, "Child, get up." Her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. Yeshua ordered food to be given to her to eat. Her parents were utterly astonished, but he ordered them to say nothing of what had happened.
Thank you to all the readers tonight. Next week, we'll continue with the healings, the blind man in particular, and the paralytic. I invite you to come back and join us next week. In the meantime, listen to this episode again when you get a chance. And listen. Listen for the healings, the faith of the people. Listen for the power that Messiah Yeshua demonstrates. He is clearly not just an ordinary man, and yet he calls himself the Son of Man. As we continue his story, we'll begin to see that he is far from just an ordinary man, and he represents the path that we all should follow, and that we all one day will follow, as he calls us his brothers and sisters. Thank you all for coming. Have a great night. Thank you for exploring the Besara, the good news of the kingdom of God, with us. In the words of Malachi, "Behold, I am sending my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. Suddenly he will come to his temple, the Lord whom you seek, and the messenger of the covenant, the one whom you desire. Behold, he is coming, says Adonai Sabaoth." Join us next week as we continue the journey